Good morning, everyone. My name's Jose. I'm an assistant minister here at St. Michael's. It's a joy to be with you. It's a joy to be opening up God's word. There's so much in here this morning. Let us ask God for help. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for showing us your truth in your word today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to accept your invitation to come and see Jesus as he truly is. And Lord, we pray that this will change our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since moving to Bulambi a couple of months ago, there's probably one thing that my wife Jess and I have told other people more about than anything else. It's our local IGA. We first visited there before we moved here. We thought we weren't going to buy anything, but we ended up going back to Sydney with a box of mangoes, a box of avocados, and I'm pretty sure we probably had a whole cabbage in there as well. Whenever someone visits us, we tell them, oh, you should go check out our local IGA, it's great. Lots of cheap fruit and veg. And I think our friends and family would sometimes think that we live and speak to invite others to shop at Bulambi IGA. Now, Bulambi IGA, it's great, but what should our lives really be about? As we keep exploring the first chapter of John's Gospel today, we'll see that we should live and speak to invite others to follow Jesus. We're reading the book of John today. It was written by John, one of Jesus' closest followers. And in the book of John, we meet a different John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, what he teaches us is to empty ourselves and to elevate Jesus. And that's our first point. Live to empty yourself and elevate Jesus. John, he's always working to make himself less and to make Jesus greater. When John's followers stopped following him and started following Jesus, John was actually achieving his life's goal. John's life was all about elevating Jesus. Some of us, we change our careers multiple times. We're trying to figure out what to do with our life. But John, he knows who he is and he knows what he was born for. And the priests and Levites, they've been sent by the Jewish leaders to ask John who he is. The Jewish leaders, they think John might be someone very, very important. He might be someone that God promised would come hundreds of years before. And their questions show that they're looking forward to the arrival of the Messiah. You know, the Messiah, he's God's promised and chosen king that would rescue God's people. And John, as he receives their questions, his response is to empty himself, to deny himself. Verse 20 says, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. John, he's very sure of what he's saying about himself. He confessed freely. I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? And give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John, he answers in a way that points away from himself into Jesus. Verse 23, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. John, he essentially says, I'm the messenger, not the Messiah. I'm preparing the way for the Messiah. They ask in verse 25, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Now, you see, John's baptism was radical and confusing. Baptism, it's a ceremonial and religious washing. In those days, it was more expected for people converting to Judaism from other religions to baptize themselves. They needed to baptize or wash themselves because non-Jews were seen as spiritually dirty. But John, he was doing the baptizing, and he was baptizing Jews. He was treating them as if they were spiritually dirty and needed washing too. And this would have horrified the Jewish leaders, because they thought they were already God's people and didn't need to be baptized. And when John, he's asked to explain why he's baptizing, he doesn't really explain the meaning of his baptism. Instead, he points to Jesus. Verse 26, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know, He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." In those days, the dusty and sometimes muddy streets would leave your feet very, very dirty. Untying someone's sandals and washing their feet was reserved for the lowest servant. But John, he says, "I'm not even worthy to do the lowest servant's job. I'm not even worthy to wash Jesus' feet." Now, from our point of view, we can see John saying, "I'm the messenger, not the Messiah. I live to empty myself and to elevate Jesus." And so when John sees Jesus, he will point everyone to look at him. And that brings us to our second point: behold the Lamb of God. Verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" In the original language, the word "look" is also translated "behold." To behold means to look at something amazing. And John says to his followers, "Look at someone amazing. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Throughout Israel's history, they've all been asking, "Where's the Lamb?" Since centuries before, when Abraham brought his son Isaac to make a sacrifice, Isaac asked, "Where is the Lamb?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the Lamb." All throughout history, they've sacrificed bull after bull. As we read in Leviticus, they sacrificed lamb after lamb. Their sin, that's their rebellion against God, meant they were guilty before God. Making sacrifices, that's offering animals to God, that was the way for the Israelites to take their guilt and sin and put it on the animal. And the animal would die in their place. And because they kept rebelling against God, they kept needing to make sacrifices. Again and again, they needed an animal to take away their sin. And now John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." His name is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who could truly take away the sin of the world. He doesn't just take away the sin of Israel. He takes away the sin of the world. God himself provided a lamb who could truly take away our sin. Oh, we can't take away our sin ourselves, not even if we offer 1,000 sacrifices. Oh, we can't try to be good enough for God. We need God to provide the way to take away our sin and to take away the punishment that we deserve. And he does this by sending his son Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, he's powerful and kind to take away all kinds of sin, even the sin that you're most ashamed of. There's no sin that can't be taken away by Jesus. I've got one of my favourite books, my favourite kids' books, Theology, to help us understand that Jesus is the sacrifice that we need. You can follow along on the screen. Jesus is the sacrifice we need. Can the death of an animal really pay for someone's sin? Animals aren't like us at all. Plus, how many animals would you have to sacrifice to atone, to cover over your sins? Every time you lie to your mum or hit your brother or sister, an animal would have to die. But we don't need to sacrifice animals for each of our sins anymore. God fulfilled his promise and sent his son Jesus to obey the law completely and die as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is very different from an animal sacrifice. The animal sacrifices covered sin, but did not take it away. They were a little like cleaning your room by shoving everything under the bed. The bed covers the mess, but the mess is still there. That is why animals had to be sacrificed again and again and again. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was good once and for all. His death restores order to the messy room that is our sin-stained heart. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John continues in verse 30, "This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." John, he has a great following, but he lives to empty himself and to elevate Jesus. Why was he baptizing? Well, John was baptizing so that Jesus, the Lamb of God, might be revealed to Israel. John, he's the messenger, not the Messiah, so he baptizes to elevate Jesus and to make him known. But John needed God to show him that the Lamb of God was Jesus. We see in verse 32, "Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" John says, "I myself did not know him. Jesus, he looks like an ordinary man." John needed God to show him that Jesus was God's chosen one. And so God gave John a clear sign of who he was looking for. "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." John, he baptized with water to show for people to show their commitment, turning away from their sin and to turn back to God. And Jesus, he will do the same, but with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read another page from the Ology to help us understand a bit more. And this is going to help us understand a bit more about how Jesus is called the Son of God. And the Son of God comes to earth. Imagine a wise king educated in law, medicine, and history, dressed in royal robes and a crown and sitting on a throne. Everyone who comes before him bows low. Now picture a day when a deadly plague infects the people of his country. No doctor can find a cure for it. In fact, they too are dying. Out of love for his people, the king leaves his throne, takes off his crown, replaces his royal robes with a simple cloth, collects his doctor's bag, and goes out to heal his people. This is what King Jesus did for us. Forever, the Son of God had lived in perfect love with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The angels worshipped the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the throne of God in a light-filled, joy-filled heaven. But one day, as sin spread like a disease through the earth, the glorious Son of God stepped off his throne. He set aside his glory in obedience to his Father's request to save his people. Because he loved the Father and his people, the Son of God humbled himself, took a body like ours, and brought healing to our sin-sick world. Jesus comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit to bring healing to our sin-sick world. John's baptism was a symbol, but Jesus' baptism brings real transformation. Christians get baptized. It is an important public announcement of their trust in Jesus and commitment to living God's way. But this is just a symbol of the greater and more necessary baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus will spiritually wash sinners clean with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit powerfully transforms sinners so they want to do what God wants rather than themselves, what themselves want. Jesus is the Son of God who left his throne in heaven to bring healing to our sin-sick world. Jesus has given many titles in this chapter. We haven't explored them all, but together they speak of who Jesus truly is. The story to come will show us how Jesus' life shows us how he lives up to all the amazing names he's been given. I remember my first email address. I called myself footy_freak. I did not live up to my name. Jesus will show how he is truly the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, and so much more. But don't take my word for it. Don't just listen to me. Come and see Jesus for yourself. That's our third point. Come and see Jesus for yourself. Today, athletes and influence have devoted followers, But John the Baptist is different. His most devoted followers become followers of Jesus. We see in verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. The whole time they've been following John, he's been telling them, "There is someone coming after me. He is greater than me. You must follow him." So they start following Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They asked, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Jesus invites them to be with him and to see, to find out who he truly is. They stay with Jesus for the whole day and they find out more about who he truly is. And so they want others to meet him too. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And we see even more people following Jesus. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So Philip follows him, and in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Well, many people couldn't believe that a Winter Olympics bobsled team could come from Jamaica. There was a whole movie made about it. And Nathanael is similar. He can't believe anything good could come from a small and ordinary place like Nazareth. What does Philip say when Nathanael responds so negatively? Does he try to argue more convincingly? Does he try to give him more evidence? Instead, Philip says, "Come and see. Come and see Jesus for yourself." Philip thinks that if Nathanael sees Jesus for himself, it will be way more convincing than anything that Philip could say to persuade him. Let's keep reading from verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael, he was full of doubt, but then he came to Jesus and he believed. He says to Jesus, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus knew Nathanael and could see him, even though they had never met. This is amazing, but Jesus promises even greater things than that. He promises Nathanael, "You're going to see me work even more powerfully." And when Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see," he's making a promise to everyone who has followed him. And maybe everyone else who will follow him after that as well. Jesus tells them they will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This refers to a vision of Jacob, one of the early ancestors, fathers of Israel. That's a bit of a picture of it. Jacob saw a ladder between heaven and earth. Angels were going up the ladder and down the ladder. And Jesus, he describes something similar, but instead of a ladder being the link between heaven and earth, the link is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is saying that he's the link between heaven and earth. Jesus will reveal heavenly things to people. Jesus will show us what God is really like. And Nathanael, he's just called Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel. He says that Jesus is God himself. He thinks that Jesus will be a great king. And Jesus, he responds by calling himself the Son of Man. Nathanael highlights Jesus' power and glory, but Jesus, he hints how his glory, his true glory, will be shown through his suffering as a man. In this passage, we only really see Jesus' names. They're a hint of who he truly is. What's the rest of the story going to show us about who Jesus truly is? We're invited to keep reading and to see Jesus for ourselves. Today, we can't see Jesus with our eyes, but as we read God's word in the Bible, we can see and understand who Jesus really is in our minds. And so I want to leave you with two familiar encouragements. If you don't believe in Jesus and trust him to take away your sin, please come and see Jesus for yourself. Maybe you're not sure that Jesus is worth your time and energy. Maybe you're not sure that the Jesus that you think about is not, or maybe is, the true Jesus. Come and see Jesus for yourself. Here's a few ways you can do that. Keep reading the book of John. You can meet Jesus in God's word. Better than reading the Bible by yourself is reading it with a friend. You can uncover who Jesus is together. You can join one of our Explore Jesus courses. You'll meet Jesus together with others one night a week for a few weeks. Our next Explore Jesus course starts on the 2nd of April. And as you come to meet Jesus, ask God for help. Ask God to help you see who Jesus truly is. If you're not sure where to start, or if you think you want to read the Bible with someone or join an Explore course, talk to me, talk to a Christian friend, talk to Mitch, he's running our Explore courses, or fill in a Connects card. There's actually a box to tick which says, I'm interested in exploring Jesus or Christianity. Please fill in a Connects card. Jesus wants you to come and meet him and be with him. If you've already met Jesus and are committed to following him, live and speak to invite others to follow Jesus. It seems to be second nature for me to invite people to shop at Bulambi IGA. Some of us find it really easy to invite our workmates to join our sports team. But let's keep thinking about how we live and speak to invite others to come and meet Jesus, to follow Jesus. You can invite them to do any of the things that I've just mentioned, to read John with you, to come to an Explore course with you, to pray for them. You can invite them here, to church. As they come to church, they'll meet Jesus and meet your Christian family. On growth group, one of our neighbours accepted Jess's invitation to join our growth group. And we're praying for him to meet the true Jesus as he explores John with us. And our growth groups will be running the 3-2-1 evangelism series in term 2. You can pray praying for your friends now, the ones that you will invite to join you to meet Jesus in term 2. How can you invite others to come and meet Jesus for themselves? Please be sharing your stories and your ideas with each other. Please be sharing them with me. I'd love to hear them and be inspired. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray and ask that more people would come and see who Jesus truly is. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to take away our sins. Without Jesus, we would have no hope of taking away our sins ourselves. God, please help us to come and see who Jesus is, who he really is, for the first time and again, so that we would totally follow and trust him. And Lord, we pray that more people would come and see who Jesus truly is. Help us to invite them, and Lord, we pray that you would transform them so that they trust and follow Jesus with their whole lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.